If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
From the heartland of this great country, at the crossroads, comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show, heard only through ConservativeNationMedia.com. Your infidel host, Robert Garding, comes to you from West Central Indiana, one of only two states in America who runs their budget in the black. You are listening to Hour 1 of the show, and now, here's your host, Robert Garding. According to the interim agreement regarding Iran's nuclear program that was reached this last weekend in Geneva, this weekend, not one centrifuge will be destroyed. Now, remember, this is supposed to be an agreement to stop a bunch of things. Well, apparently it's an agreement to stop a bunch of things that we needed to have done. Not 1 pound of enriched uranium will leave Iran. Not one American unjustly detained in Iran's notorious prisons will be released. But Iran will start to receive, in a matter of days, $7 billion in relief from international economic sanctions. Imagine that. This all happened earlier this week after my last show. And so it is so sad how much our unrepresentatives really do not represent us for America in all in the name of lying to us and making us think they really are helping. But the only way that will stop is if the people like you and me and you know, all the American citizens get off our butts and start voting these people out of office. That's the only thing that's going to save this nation. Then all those things I now talk about will stop. Well, these things have been going on for so many years now that it'll take some time, which actually works against the American system of government because in order to get it right, it's been wrong for so long now that it's going to take a while for it to come back, and the American people just don't have that kind of mentality about them to have to be able to wait for any period of time for something to happen. And this is all because the coming crop of politicians, you know, and the change will come, but it's all because the coming crop of politicians will know what they have, that they have to toe the line or be left out of office. That will work if we do it, folks. Here's what happened. All the smiles, embraces between diplomats after the interim deal was signed, notwithstanding, the Iranian regime remains a brutal and oppressive dictatorship that pursues nuclear weapons for the purpose of dominating the Middle East and threatening America and our allies, notably Israel. President Obama and Secretary Kerry should reconsider their policy of rapprochement of Iran that is dismaying to Jerusalem and encouraging to Tehran. There was Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu predicted this agreement would be a very, very bad deal and now has correctly identified it as an historic mistake. Meanwhile, Iranian President Hassan Rouhani tweeted his satisfaction as the breaking down of the architecture for sanctions has begun. The administration has gotten it backwards, and it is time to reverse course before any further damage is done. This was the post on my Facebook from Senator Ted Cruz on this agreement with Iran. What do we as the people of this nation need to do to get the politicians in Washington to stop doing things that hurt America? Well, I do have an idea. Get rid of all of them that do not want to work for us. That includes the likes of Senator Kerry, Congressman Congressmen McCain and Graham and all the rest in Washington who think that they are the bosses. I think if we, the American people, do this, the politicians in Washington will start listening to us again and will work diligently to bring this country back from the abyss that the current crop, which includes the president and the vice president, have us in. They say there is nothing more devastating than losing a child. Imagine, then, what it must have been like to have a son predict his own brutal murder and then stand by helplessly as his prediction comes true. WND's camera was rolling as Greg Glee Sr. summoned all his strength and told the heartbreaking story of his Marine son's violent death to the crowd at the Reclaim America rally across the street from the White House on Tuesday. Visibly shaken and struggling to keep his emotions in check, it obviously took all the willpower the proud father could muster to tell how Lance Corporal Greg Buckley Jr. was shot to death by a supposed ally, one of the Afghans in the U.S. military, U.S. military was assigned to train and protect. Buckley Sr. recounted how his son, safely stationed in Hawaii, volunteered in March 2012 to replace a badly injured buddy slated to go to Afghanistan. The Marine was sent to Forward Operating Base Delphi, and it quickly became apparent that all was not well there. When Buckley Jr. predicted his own death, his father could not understand. The Marine should be safe because he was not on the battlefield, but his son would explain why he felt being on the base with the people he was supposedly there to protect was so much more dangerous than being in combat. The Marine told his father about training the Afghan police and described their chief as a bad guy. "They're going to kill me here," the son told his father. "They're going to murder me inside my facility. These people are bad people, Dad. You don't understand how bad it is here," he exclaimed. "They don't care about us. They don't want us here. They said it to me, but we have to do what we're told to do because we're Marines," unquote. Buckley Jr. described how he wasn't scared about fighting. He was scared about being murdered at night while he was sleeping. "They're not normal people, and we shouldn't be here. We're serving no purpose. We're being lied to. They're telling us one thing, and it's a whole other agenda. They have their reasons for us to be here. And as soon as we stand up and say something, they make us disappear," the son confided to his father. A few weeks later, the Buckley family received a goodbye letter from the Marine. He thanked his parents for everything they'd done for him and told his two younger brothers to grow up to be great young men and always do the right thing. A few days later, the Marine was dead. 15 months later, Buckley Sr. said the family still hadn't received a report on the incident from the Marines. And this is wrong, folks. The Marine Times reported Staff Sergeant Scott Dickerson, 29, Corporal Richard Rivera, 20, and Lance Corporal Gregory Buckley, 21, died August 10, 2012, after an attacker opened fire on them with an assault rifle at the base gym. A fourth Marine, Staff Sergeant Cody Rode, sustained 5 gunshot wounds, including one that shattered his elbow, according to a Marine Corps news release. They were all members of a police advisory team attached to the 3rd Battalion, 8th Marines out of Camp Lejeune, North Carolina. The accused shooter is in custody, but Buckley Sr. strongly believes the real culprit is an Afghan police chief who is not facing any charges. Buckley said the man was involved in prostitution of young boys called T-boys, drugs, and the Taliban, but the U.S. military allowed him to be inside the base. Imagine that. T-boys are a part of child molesting cultural tradition in Afghanistan, WND has reported on, and called baka bazi or boy play. WND military expert Michael Malouf reported in the practice of Baka Bazi, boys ages 9 through 17 are dressed up as women to dance for leering Afghan men who then use the boys for sex and make them their property. Sources say the dancing boys are, in effect, sex slaves owned by Afghan police, diplomats, and wealthy drug lords. It's a disgusting practice. It's a form of slavery, taking a child, keeping him. It's a form of sexual slavery, the UN Special Representative for Children in Armed Conflict told PBS Frontline. The U.S. Department has called the Afghan practice of owning dancing boys a culturally sanctioned form of male rape. Buckley said the police chief's 15-year-old T-boy, who pulled the trigger. The father described how on that fateful night, his son was in a gym on his base at 8:30 at night, lifting weights, laughing with his friends. That is a real sad way to have to go when you're serving this country. Change that needs to come, folks, but the change that is coming is not what us conservatives want. It's what the liberals all tell us we need. ConservativeNationMedia.com starts off the week every Monday in a big way. It's Inside Tennessee with Dave Vance. But even if you're not from the volunteer state, the issues that affect Tennessee are spreading out all over America, and almost anybody anymore can see this. We can see it. We know it's happening. Dave Vance brings his veterans' insight and most informative guests to Inside Tennessee every Monday, so make sure to check him out. It's a good show. Brought to you by the Tennessee Action Council, Inside Tennessee, Mondays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. Congressional Republicans are escalating their criticism of the Obama administration and its Iranian nuclear deal as news broke that the country has been covertly collaborating with North Korea on a new rocket booster for long-range missiles. While the president was undertaking his secret negotiations, which Congress wasn't informed of, by the way, he had to know Iran and North Korea were testing new engines for ballistic missiles to target the United States. And this was said by Alabama Representative Mike Rogers, chairman of the House Armed Services Subcommittee on Strategic Forces, according to Washington Free Beacon. Every day the president's deal looks worse and worse, he said. Texas Senator Ted Cruz is equally critical, saying the agreement with Iran neglected to address the threat of intercontinental ballistic missiles. The Iran regime is clearly demonstrating through word and deed that they have no intention of moderating the behavior that earned them one of the harshest international programs of economic sanctions on record, Cruz told the Beacon. Relaxing the sanctions now only encourages them to continue their pursuit of nuclear weapons and the means to deliver them to Israel, Europe, and even the United States. President Obama and Secretary of State Kerry will reconsider this dangerous policy and add the immediate cessation of their ICBM program to the list of prerequisites placed on Iran before any additional negotiations take place, Cruz said. A report Tuesday revealed that Iran had been secretly working with North Korea on a new 80-ton rocket booster that can be used in both countries' long-range missile programs, according to the Beacon, citing officials familiar with the intelligence reports. Several groups of Iranian technicians traveled to Pyongyang over the last few months, including as recently as late October, to develop the booster, which officials say could be used on both a space launcher and for long-range missiles. U.S. intelligence agencies believe the countries are using their space programs to hide long-range strategic missiles, which could be used to launch nuclear warheads capable of reaching the U.S. within the next 2 years. And now, folks, we know. So what are we going to do about it? We will be right back. And, didn't add something in there that I should have, but that's okay. I'll go to the next thing.
This is the sound of a brand new outdoor grill being hurled off a 20-story building. now a stylish glass coffee table, an electric guitar. These are the things you could enjoy all cast into oblivion, because when you throw away money on wasted electricity, you throw away everything you could have bought with it. Visit EnergySavers.gov and get tips on how to save energy and money. Then do things like switch to Energy Star light bulbs or Energy Star appliances, then you could save hundreds of dollars a year. So this doesn't happen to the recliner you've had your eye on, or this to the treadmill on your wish list, or this to the shiny new bike your kid's been asking for. Saving energy saves you money. Learn more at EnergySavers.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Energy and the Ad Council.
Molon LeVay Challenge Coins and Wares. Similar to challenge coins used by various military units, these MLCCW coins are ideal for anyone that champions the right to keep and bear arms by highlighting the Second Amendment and the Greek phrase Molon LeVay, which translated means come and take them. Come check out our pro-freedom, pro-liberty, and pro-Second Amendment coins and shirts at MLCCW.com. That's MLCCW.com.
In 50 feet, turn left. Why are you driving so slowly?
After a few drinks, I'm taking it slow.
Well, you're not fooling the cop behind you.
What?
Get ready to pay in 0.1 miles.
Getting pulled over for buzz driving could cost you around $10,000 in fines, legal fees, and increased insurance rates. Nothing kills a buzz like getting pulled over for buzz driving, because buzz driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Bursting forth with the power of 10 billion butterfly seeds. Man, with his flaming fire, has conquered the wayward breezes.
The world needs a strong America now more than ever, and Obama's foreign policy weakness should spark a debate among U.S. conservatives. In the days since news of a deal on Iran's nuclear program broke, I've lost count of the number of commentators, both on the right and the left, lining up to denounce President Obama as the new Neville Chamberlain. Worse than Munich, screamed the headline of one column published in the Wall Street Journal. One prominent conservative radio host even asserted that Chamberlain was a left-wing Labor Party member who was sacked by his own party for being too left-wing at Munich. Talk about molding the facts to your argument. Chamberlain was, of course, supposedly a conservative. As far as the Iranian agreement is concerned, it is true that any sensible person should have deep misgivings about it. The Western powers appear to have spectacularly underplayed a strong hand, and the deal runs the grave risk of allowing Iran to edge towards its malevolent nuclear ambitions by stealth, which is scary nonetheless. However, rather than resembling the great appeaser, Chamberlain, the worry is that Obama is starting to look more like Woodrow Wilson, the great progressive president whose hopeless idealism on the world stage preceded America's virtual withdrawal from the global affairs and the nightmares of the 1930s. Like Wilson, Obama is a well-meaning an idealistic liberal, but he is up against countries and individuals who recognize only cold, hard, real politics and see his idealism as simply as an opportunity to be exploited, nothing more, unfortunately. Therefore, at a time when challenges on the international stage are proliferating, the administration continues to project a profound sense of American weakness, one that is almost unprecedented in modern times. So, of course, that will only embolden these people who seek to challenge Western hegemony, H-E-G-E-M-O-N-Y, and those that are not, that do are not generally proponents of democracy, free markets, and individual rights. Of course, we all know that this country, well, it probably is a democracy anymore. It didn't start out that way. The individual threats to Western interests and the balance of power are manifold, and the stakes could not be higher. Beyond the Middle East, they include the escalating tensions of the East China Sea and China's throwing down the gauntlet with provocative new air defense rules, the fate of Ukraine, whose people want to strike out on a new Western-oriented path, but whose supine politicians have been strong-armed back into line by a ruthless Vladimir Putin, as well as the woefully underreported but rapidly deteriorating situation in a number of African countries where Western commercial interests, not to mention democratic ideals, all of this is as much a challenge for American conservatives as it is for the current liberal incumbents. History shows that Wilson's decline is followed by a sweeping victory for Republican isolationism, which ultimately helped create the conditions in which the enemies of the Western way of life could prosper and wreak havoc. It is one thing, therefore, for conservatives to criticize the Obama administration's many fumbles on the international stage, but they must also show what kind of foreign policy they would put in its place. So far, nobody has. Well, nobody has that's been actually listened to, anyway. Nobody would advocate a return to the discredited neoconservative doctrine of the Bush era, but isolationism, which appeals to a growing part of the conservative movement in the U.S., is also not the answer. Of course, America cannot micromanage every conflict in the world, and it certainly cannot fight every war, although a lot of us seem to think so. For the United States that is enfeebled and withdrawn from international affairs could be a disaster, first of all, for the many parts of the world that still look towards it, then in due course for Americans themselves. That should never happen again. But it is going to if Obama and the left gets their way. It is like I have said many times, and it seems I will have to say it many times more. Until Americans get it and stop voting these clowns and jokers into office, liberals are not the friends of Americans. They never have been and never will be, no matter how flowery or tempting their talk to get into office is. They will never lead us down the right road. This is so true, folks. My friend Douglas V. Gibbs, who writes his blog called Political Pistachio, wrote an article titled, A Republic, If You Can Keep It, wrote this: Harry Reid and Barack Obama have unleashed what is being called the nuclear option. The U.S. Senate rule change is designed to enable Barack Obama to pack the courts and render the Congress powerless. Democrats want what they want, and they are willing to go to any lengths to achieve their statist goals. All of the little groups that the liberal left have set against each other are too busy demanding their little agendas to feel the noose tightening around their own necks and the shackles being placed on their limbs. The Democrats aim to control us, to micromanage our lives through bigger government, and we have been positioned by them in such a way that we are not only letting them do it, but many folks are actually calling for it. 1787, after 4 months of intense debate, the signers of the United States Constitution emerged from the Independence Hall satisfied men with the belief that divine providence had guided the negotiations and they had created a federal government that would protect, preserve, and promote the union of sovereign states. The government, according to the Constitution, was to be limited only to the external issues, leaving the local issues to the states where they belonged. Checks and balances were interwoven throughout the system to protect the new nation against the rise of tyranny from within. A separation of powers divided the power, keeping the three branches of government within their own authorities, and allowing the states through the United States Senate to maintain a little control, though their advice and consent powers of the government that the founders were positive would do all this central, would do this as all central governments do, try to grow bigger and infringe on the rights of the citizens, which they have. and hello everyone who is in the chat room. The Founding Fathers studied history from Britain's own Anglo-Saxons to Greece, Slovenia, and Rome. They discarded the parts of the systems they believed would lead the United States towards democracy or oligarchy, recognizing that both political philosophies were dangerous and kept concepts that supported their idea of a constitutional republic that functions under the rule of law rather than the rule of man. Benjamin Franklin, the elder statesman, was particularly satisfied as he walked across the lawn. A woman approached him and asked, "Sir, what have you given us?" Franklin probably adjusted his round spectacles, allowed a brief glimpse of a smile brush across his lips, and then leaned a little toward the woman and said, "A republic, if you can keep it." Folks, we are living the realization of the thing that Franklin was talking about there today. We are losing our republic. It has turned into a democracy, which is quickly turning into a socialism tool for the government, which once that happens, it's going to become communism, and there's nothing we're going to be able to do about it if we don't stop it. This has to be stopped. There is no other way around it, and this just drives me crazy to think that we have such a great country here, and we are allowing our politicians to go in there and do things like they did this last week with Iran, not telling the American people what they really have in mind, but handing us a bunch of bull from one side to the other and expecting us all to believe it. Sadly, they think we believe it. In reality, most of us don't, and most of us haven't for a long time. And it seems that every once in a while we'll get some glimmer of idea from one of the politicians that has always been a little glimmer of hope in their eyes, and suddenly they see what's going on, but they refuse to acknowledge it. I have mentioned this quote from Benjamin Franklin on this show innumerable times since I started the show in 2007. The Founding Fathers were afraid of a democracy. They didn't want one. They knew that it would lead to other things. They knew that a smaller government, lower taxes, and less involvement of the government in the people's lives was the way to go. A constitutional republic was the way to go, and they went that way. Over the last 100 years, our government and our politicians from the left and even those on the right have worked to completely dismantle that, take it down, and reshape it into a democracy which is quickly turning into the socialism and socialist ideals that we see running amok in Washington, D.C. these days. And the sad part about that is we have the biggest socialist I think I have ever seen in Washington, D.C., residing in the White House. That to me is just one of the scariest things that I have ever seen. And it is, to me, one of the things that shows me the demise of this country. There's nothing I can do about getting rid of Obama, except maybe trying to get the truth out there to people. Hopefully somebody will listen. It would be really nice if I'd say something that was of what he is doing to this country and it went viral and everybody in the nation heard it, but it won't happen. I don't have that many listeners, and I've never had anything that I said go viral, although I think a lot of what I have said deserves to. We will be right back. All of us at Conservative Nation Media, and I have this here. It's a new liner that came in this week and was told that we were supposed to do it around Thanksgiving through to Christmas, so I'm going to start it now. All of us at Conservative Nation Media are proud to bring you our second annual Christmas Eve Music and Kids Extravaganza special on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, starting at 4 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Central on Christmas Eve. You can listen to hours of great traditional American music live or download it and listen to it when you need to be reminded of the true glory and meaning of Christmas. And you can only get it from our website, conservativenationmedia.com. And don't forget to have your kids write Santa a letter from our website or to Santa Claus at conservativenationmedia.com, and Santa will send back a personalized email within 48 hours. How cool would that be to get email from Santa Claus? From all of us at Conservative Nation Media, to all of you, the warmest and most joyous Merry Christmas, and thanks for listening. You are listening to New Wise Conservatism Radio Show. And the call-in number, if you wish to call in to talk, is 718-305-7176. And I do have a policy of not answering when I have a number that is blocked. So we will be right back.
Unexpected reactions to smart financial decisions brought to you by feedthepig.org.
Well, I finally did it. I opened a 401k.
So you're giving up, just like that?
Giving up on what?
I'm getting an inheritance from a distant relative.
Don't you think if there were a billionaire in the family, we'd know about it by now?
Listen to me. We are one phone call away from riding horses on our own private polo ground. One call from christening yachts, having a butler, using summer as a verb.
How do you figure?
Look, everyone's got a rich uncle somewhere. It's statistics. So the best thing you can do is just prepare for the inevitable.
Right, which is why I thought maybe it would be smart to take control of my finances. You know, start using a budget, get out of debt, set some retirement goals.
Budgets? Debt? You watch your mouth. Retirement shouldn't be a goal for us. It should be a way of life.
When it comes to financial stability, don't get left behind. Get tools and tips for saving at feedthepig.org. This message brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
Been looking for an online gathering place? You know, a familiar screen, does everything you're used to, except give you grief for being a conservative? You gotta try the Tea Party community. At TPC, you'll know how everything works from the very first minute, and you'll probably find a lot of friends who are already there. Organize, communicate, share ideas, upcoming events, pictures, and videos. The Tea Party community connects and empowers like-minded, politically conservative people like you. Sign up today at teapartycommunity.com.
Hi, I'm Kathy Henners, your host on Daily Roll Call on conservativenationmedia.com. Please join me each Friday as we talk about subjects like the Muslim Brotherhood, their goals, their agenda, and how it affects our schools, our law enforcement, and our communities. As a retired police officer, I'll give you an inside look into this issue and so much more. Don't miss it. Fridays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, right here on conservativenationmedia.com.
From my blog, Wise Conservatism, remember this from last week when the stats for the voting records of the Democrats and the Republican parties were given by me on several important things. If not, I will remind you the 13th Amendment to abolish slavery had 100% Republican support, 23% Democrat support. 14th Amendment gave citizenship to freed slaves with 94% Republican support, 0% Democrat support. 15th Amendment, the right to vote for all, 100% Republican support, 0% Democrat support. And the last one, Obamacare, 0% Republican support, 86% Democrat support. Now, I am one who keeps railing against the bigger government mentality and how it isn't needed here. And now I have a perfect example of just what I've been talking about, and this one uses Walmart for an example. From AmericansForFreedom.com comes this one. Walmart is processing 42,000 customer orders and sales per minute. They spent less than $100 million building their website in the private sector. On the other hand, the U.S. government website cannot process more than 26,000 orders over 6 weeks, and they spent well over $620 million of taxpayer money building their website, and that is just the beginning of it, folks, I am sure. Are there any questions about why we need a smaller government? Walmart makes a profit. The U.S. government increases our national debt and your taxes to play this game, and you wonder why Obamacare may crash the country and jobs altogether? When the government runs out of money, they just take more of your money. And the whole thing is if the government, government actually has no money without us. And that's where a lot of people have this whole thing completely wrong. If Walmart, on this whole thing that I was reading, if Walmart screws up, management gets fired. Which direction do you prefer for America? It seems that since the leaders of the management of the U.S. government can't get things straight, we need to fire them instead of constantly publishing their ideals on why things are working and who is really to blame, when we all know that the ones to blame are them. The reason that this country is in such a mess right now is because when Obama comes out and blames the faction of the Republican Party that is against him for all the troubles he is having with this monstrosity of a bill that is now known as Obamacare, and by the way, he is now distancing himself from that name, which essentially shows that he knows it's not working either, even though that's stuck in the back of his mind and he's not allowing it to come out. But instead of taking the blame himself for everything that is going wrong and then no one questioning him on it, when we know without a doubt that the whole trouble comes from him and the big government mentality that they have on the left out there, he goes and blames other factions of things like Ted Cruz for opposing him and Obamacare. Mike Lee for opposing him and trying to stop Obamacare. Rand Paul, for shutting down the government, heaven forbid. That caused all kinds of problems. Not for us, mind you, for him. And I'm not talking about Senator Rand Paul here. I'm talking about Obama. It seems like his troubles have just begun, yet he hasn't been able to figure out who to blame, except that it's always the Republicans' fault. It's always those dastardly Tea Party people who just keep getting in my way. The trouble is, the list that I gave last week and here on the show and just a few minutes ago is anything but the beginning of that. If you follow and look into what the liberal left and some of the right have been doing over the past 100 years or so, you would see it. It would smack you right upside the head and make you wonder just where they have been hiding their brains, because it sure isn't in their heads. And the giggleweeds that they have had to smoke to even think of some of this stuff that they are saying must be staggering, to say the least. Any person with a working brain and a trickling of common sense can tell you that this just doesn't work. History is finally starting to catch up to the fact that Woodrow Wilson was not a friend of the United States, and his policy did more damage to this republic than good. And in that vein of thinking, we can now look forward to the second and much worse incarnation of Woodrow Wilson in the guise of Barack Hussein Obama. And it isn't racist to bring up these points, folks. It wouldn't be racist to bring up the same things when talking about someone else like George W. Bush or Ronald Reagan or even Clinton to a lesser degree. I remember Hillary Clinton screeching out, "I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate, you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have the right to debate and disagree with any administration." I think I hurt my voice there. I think all that... say it.
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic, and we should stand up and say we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Okay, now that was said, and I need to get a drink now. But what is this woman, the same woman, saying to us now? She is telling us that we need to support Obama and whatever he wants to do, because otherwise would be racist and un-American. Hmm? That is a great example of how the left gets it both ways, folks. They say one thing when it fits their agenda for it, and then they turn around and say something 180 degrees out of phase when it is something else that fits the agenda. Truth is never part of the equation. Just what fits the occasion is whatever lie they can make up to use at any certain time. Truth is never a part of it. Making sure that the moment fits their occasion, never taking into account that what they are saying now does not fit what they said before, and that there is a record of what they said, like in my last audio. And if we have the audacity to bring this up, then we are the racist or terrorist or un-American or something equally as bad, something that isn't good. But, folks, we have to stop letting them put us on the defensive here. It is something that we have done ever since I can freaking remember. Even when Reagan was in the White House, I remembered GOP politicians going on the defensive every time the Democrats would say something stupid. They know, as we should, that fighting a defensive war cannot be won. We lost in Vietnam because we were made to fight a defensive war. We didn't lose one battle there, but we lost the war. And this war that we conservative Americans find ourselves in now will also be lost, and so will America, if we don't stop working on fighting a defensive war. The left has been really successful at making us fight that kind of war in the past. Excuse me. The left continues to try to make us fight that kind of war because they know they can win it. They know we can't. Time we stop letting them dictate how we fight our wars or how we run our campaigns. That's another one. We allowed the left to dictate who we put in as a nominee with McCain and Romney. There were others out there that could have been much better and probably could have won. But because the left didn't want us to have those people, the left knew who we could put in there and still lose. That's what they did. Defensive is not the way to win. And it's time that we on the right realize this. The liberal left is not the only ones out there who do not think before they talk and who are taking an offensive war to us. From Blog Talk Radio, on a progressive political radio show called Deep Brain Radio, comes this one from yesterday at 1 p.m. Eastern in their dialogue at the beginning of the show, where if you go into my show and you read what my show is going to be, this is what their show was going to be about yesterday. Quote, if you believe in a God who punishes his children with eternal damnation and torture, can you think of anyone who deserves it more than Andrew Breitbart? Yes, you heard me right there. That's exactly what it said. Goes on, it says, a man who lied, who targeted those who he perceived as weak and used bullying tactics, lies, and an entire media establishment to tear down careers? Kind of sounds like the left, huh? Well, on March 1st, 2012, fate tapped Andy on the shoulder and said, that's enough out of you. But as I describe in my book, Eating Breitbart, the death of Andrew Breitbart made his organization leaderless and without direction, but even more dangerous, as this probably should have been, he put even more dangerous as the fools he left behind engaged. It should have been are the fools he left behind engaged in activities that Andrew Breitbart would never have approved of. He goes on and says, on this show we will chronicle the decaying empire of the dead Andrew Breitbart and the self-destruction of the slow-moving blowflies that still feast on his decomposing corpse. I had to stop for a few seconds after I read that, and I thought, holy cow. Can you imagine if some highfalutin Republican or conservative said something like that about someone from the left who was dead and couldn't defend themselves anymore? And to let this person know Andrew Breitbart's empire, as you so put it, is not decaying, it is growing. Just like the fight for this country is growing. To heck with that. Can you imagine a Republican saying something like that about any one of their so-called icons? I can, and it wouldn't be pretty for our side because we would be put on the defense again. Well, this radio host is calling this person out. It isn't right to say something just because you believe it when the person that you're talking about is not around anymore to defend themselves. You wouldn't like it if I said something like that about one of your highly respected members of your cliche. Now, would you, if they were dead? True or not? I didn't think so. Need I say any more? Folks, America will suffer the consequences of this if we don't do what we need to do and start fighting an offensive war and stop being the pawns of the left and the progressives. Because mark my words here, we are in a war for America's future. And out of the sides of this war, we are the only ones who do not realize this basic fact. It's time we realize it for once. Our friendly local pilot in command and GOP spokesman, Duke Brooks, calls himself a paleocon, and rightly so, since it's clear that anti-communism is in his DNA. His parents were friends with Joe McCarthy, Bill Buckley, and Whitaker Chambers, so what would you expect? There's no truth to the rumor that he has a dartboard with Alger Hiss's picture on it, but you can get your weekly dosage of old-school conservatism, right-wing politics, American history, and hangar flying on Radio Free America with Duke Brooks Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. And this next story I've got is also from Breitbart.com, an observance of the story that I just got through reading about Breitbart being in hell and his site going down the tubes. On Friday, Bloomberg News reported that 2 days before the Obama administration self-imposed December 1st deadline for fixing the healthcare.gov website, and the website remains disastrously hit and miss. From Florida to Alaska, the navigators designed to sign people up for insurance under the U.S. healthcare overhaul say that while the federal online insurance exchange has improved in many ways since its October 1st debut, outages and errors continue to prevent many from using it to buy their coverage. Well, I keep looking at this, and I don't really think that, you know, I think the website is as bad as everybody says it is. I really do. But I think another of the problems that they are having here is that the people don't want it, and they're not going for it. That's just, I look at that, and I know that I have fought that one every step of the way. I am working for a company now that we had to go in and watch a video about how you needed to do this and you needed to do that under the new healthcare laws. I didn't do it. And the only thing they could say was that, well, if you don't do it now, you'll get fined at the end of the year. And I thought, well, so what? They can't get blood out of a turnip. The big problem with the website remains the payment system, according to the article that I found, which, as the administrators of the website acknowledge, has not yet been fully built. And to me, how many places that want to start up something that's supposed to be really big and really great, if you're going to do something like, say, if Duke decided to start CNM when he did, got the website all partially up there and able to show a page, and he decided that, okay, we're ready to go. Let's open this thing up and see just what happens. excuse me, chances are CNN would fail. Not because CNN is a bad idea, because it's not. But it would fail because it was started before everything was ready. Well, there is what we're looking at with Obamacare. It was started before it was ready, for one thing. It was started against the wishes of the people, for another thing. We are in trouble here. And I'm running a little bit behind here. So.
The Internet's official rhino hunting safari.
Americans have known Tennessee as the volunteer state since the War of 1812. Now, Tennessee is leading the way in another major conflict. The war to keep America's identity, values, and freedoms intact. Even if you've never walked in Memphis or hiked the Blue Ridge Mountains, if you respect traditional American values, you should know about the Tennessee Action Council. Tennessee Action Council fights to preserve American values, defend our way of life, and protect the U.S. Constitution. This isn't just Tennessee's battle. It affects every American who loves our country and wants to pass the real America, unstained by progressive liberalism, along to future generations. No matter where you are in this magnificent country of ours, Tennessee Action Council is on your side and on America's side. Go to TN4Action.com. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to volunteer for Tennessee and America. That's TN, the number 4, Action.com to stand for America now.
Okay, forest animals, today is a new day. Kids are coming to the forest, and it's up to us to make their visit a good one. Sparrow.
Yes?
Have you practiced the most popular bird songs for the year?
Of course.
Catchy. I like it. Okay, river.
Dude.
How's the temperature?
It's a refreshing 52 degrees, man. Perfect for a little riverside shoeless relaxation.
Ah, good. Owl, you here?
Of course. Who's asking?
I am. Look, you know the drill. Sleep during the day, scare the kids at night.
Perfect. I love my job.
Oak tree?
Stop.
Still in the same place I left you last year. That's what I like, consistency.
Well, it's not like I'm going anywhere for the next couple hundred years.
I know. I love it. Turtle. Turtle.
He's not here yet, man.
He's late every morning. You'd think he would have learned by now to leave the night before our meetings. Okay. Squirrel. Has anybody seen Mr. Squirrel?
The forest has been preparing just for you. Visit a forest near you today. To learn more about cool things to do in the forest, visit discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
You know, the sad part about all this is that Obama doesn't even seem to know what is up, that his numbers are down, about any of it. And if he does, it is only because of the Republicans or something like that. Maybe Reagan has come back from the grave to bring down his popularity. That is possible. But since Obama seems to blame everyone else for his troubles, why not that? If you remember about a week ago, I gave the numbers of his approval rating at 37%. And I just had to ask how it could be that high. You know, folks, if we Americans were really in love with this country, then Obama wouldn't have stood a chance in hell of being elected, not once, but twice. At least that is how us conservatives think about it. This country is so great that it is hard for someone who really is afraid of the direction that this country is going to say that it is going in the right direction, that this country can survive the financial mess that Obama and the left has us in. The reason that the people still believe that is the way it has to be is because a lot of us have gotten lazy. We have found out that if we don't work, the government will still take care of us, or try to. So there is no need to work hard for a living anymore. Everything will be okay. The trouble is, thinking for people, We know that this will never work because without working people, the government has no money. And I've said this so many times that I'm almost like a broken record on this. The people on the government dole will no longer be on the government dole. It's as simple as this. Without us, the government has no money. Without us working to pay our taxes, the government has no money. And the sooner these lazy liberal babies that have grown up on the government payroll realize this, the sooner this country can get back to being great and prosperous again. But as long as we have half the people voting jokers like Barack Obama, Harry Reid, Nancy Pelosi, and others into office to keep the country heading down the toilet, then that means this country will never come back to greatness and the world will continue laughing at us. Right now, if the United States tells someone anywhere in the world something, they just smirk and go about doing things that they were doing in the first place. America's word of honor doesn't mean diddly squat anymore. And it is time that we stopped voting liberals into office and started putting people into office to bring this country back. Here's the reason that this is going to be hard to do. Americans may get tired and rebel against the Democrats this next election, but it is going to take some time to get this economy going again. And with the short attention span that most Americans seem to have when it comes to government, in a year, the Republicans will start getting bad-mouthed by the ones that lost their offices in the last election, and they will start blaming the GOP for all the woes of this country when, in fact, they were all there when they took office. But that won't matter. Sadly, the people will start to listen and start voting Democrats back into office again. And it will happen about the time that the economy would start turning around and starting to get better. Then the Democrats will get back into office and start their crap again, and the nation will end up back in the same spot we are in now. And sadly, each time this happens, it goes farther and farther down the road to ruin every time they get the chance to work their destructive ways. And we will get mad again and then work to vote them out of office. And the trouble is, I put all this into about 3 paragraphs, but the timetable on this happening will probably be over the span of about 14 to 20 years. So we won't remember what got us here and how long it took. That is where the Democrats have their advantage and have had their advantage. Excuse me. We don't remember, so we can't get voted back. So they can't get voted back into office. Once Americans learn that corrupt people, in the guise of a liberal Democrat or a liberal Republican, are never ever good for our nation, and they never ever deserve to be voted into office. That is what will save this nation. And if we do what we need to do in the next election, we will only be putting off the inevitable of total destruction if we do not remember how we got here and why. Shows like this one and others on Conservative Nation Media, and shows like Rush Limbaugh, Sean Hannity, and local shows like the Great Garrison Show here in Indianapolis will still keep the truth going. But I do not expect to get it out of the media. That will never happen. Till we do what is right and vote all the bums who won't follow the Constitution out and put in their place people like Ted Cruz and Mike Lee, Rand Paul and Sarah Palin, Mike Pence, and others who will follow the founding documents. That is what will save this nation from oblivion, that and God. We will be right back with the second hour of the New Wise Conservatism Radio Show, heard here on Conservative Nation Media, where the call-in number, if you want to be on the show, is 718-305-7176. We will be right back. Please stay tuned.
If you love America, you're among friends here. ConservativeNationRadio.org.
A boy born in Joplin, Missouri, was fascinated by anything with wheels and a motor. The odds of him going on to fascinate millions with his talent? 1 in 260,000. The odds of this born racer having 157 career top 10 finishes in NASCAR? 1 in 125 billion. But every driver seeks the pinnacle of their achievements. The odds of him winning both the Daytona 500 and the Brickyard 400 in the same year, 1 in 195 million. The odds of a child being diagnosed with autism, 1 in 88. I'm NASCAR driver Jamie McMurray, and my niece has autism. Learn more at autismspeaks.org/signs. Early diagnosis can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
It is with great pleasure that I welcome you to today's graduation ceremony. Students, when you hear the reason or reasons for your absences throughout the years, please exit the auditorium without your high school diploma. Once you've exited, remove your cap and gown and proceed into the unknown. Too tired. Family trip. Part-time job. Helping around the house. Sick day. Starting the holidays early. Just because.
Starting in the sixth grade, students who miss 18 days or more of school in a year for any reason will fall behind and risk not graduating high school. How many days of school has your child missed this year? Absences add up. Keep track at boostattendance.org today. Brought to you by the U.S. Army and the Ad Council.
Of America in West Central Indiana comes the new Wise Conservatism radio show with your host, Robert Girding. We are still considered traitors to the Obama nation, especially since we broadcast from one of only two states that run their budgets in the black, conservative style. Take that, Obama. You are listening to Hour 2 of the show, where we continue working for you to give you the truth that is not told by the lamestream media and the Obama bots. We are being broadcast to you through Conservative Nation Media on Blog Talk Radio. And now, here again is your host, Robert Girding.
Okay.
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children.
Well, that was kind of wrong. Remember I told you about how an Obama third term is being thought about? Well, here's more information on that one from a site called The College Fix comes this one, and it starts out with the question, you want more Obama? In the Washington Post, Jonathan Zimmerman, a history professor from NYU, of course, New York, has written an article claiming that all of America's problems would be solved, get this, if only we would allow Barack Obama to run for a third term. I had to laugh. It goes on to say he wants to amend the Constitution and abolish presidential term limits. And, you know, folks, if we allow this to happen, we are in so much trouble because there is so many other term limits that they will abolish also. But Zimmerman writes that Obama, whose approval rating is at an all-time low of 37%, and I've heard already this week it's at 32 now, would be much more effective at governing if he could stand for re-election in 2016, because then he'd be less likely to ignore the will of the American people. It's time to put that power back where it belongs, he writes. Barack Obama should be allowed to stand for re-election, just as citizens should be allowed to vote for or against him. Anything less diminishes our leaders and ourselves. We don't know whether to shake our heads in disbelief or burst out laughing, actually. This professor admits that only a third of Americans approve of the job Obama is doing in office, yet he wants us to believe that we'd be better off if we were able to have him as president until the year 2020 and beyond. Some strange logic. And just 1 week ago, the very same newspaper ran a story predicting that if the 2012 election were held now, Mitt Romney would win the White House, not Obama. Right now, this country has a serious case of voters' remorse. Therefore, the timing for this call for a potential third Obama term couldn't be more wrong. If we were going to go to the trouble of amending the Constitution, I think more Americans would be interested in adding the power to recall this president than would be interested in giving him a third term. Now, do you believe me that we are in trouble? Our colleges are churning out liberals by the bucket load, and these teachers are trying to teach our future leaders? Oh. Another article that I found, I heard this on the Mark on the newscasts on the Mark Levin show the other day when they were talking about something that happened at the Clutha Bulks Bar in Glasgow, Ireland, which was hosting a music event. It says at least three people are feared dead after a police helicopter crashed on the roof of the busy pub in the city center of Glasgow as it was hosting a live music event. A band was playing inside the Clutha Bulks Bar when the aircraft hit the building just before 10:30 p.m., causing multiple injuries as dust and debris was thrown across the venue. The police helicopter was reported to be carrying two police officers and a civilian when the accident happened. Eyewitnesses described multiple injuries at the scene. And this is Scotland, of course. I said Ireland, but Scotland. Scotland's First Minister, Alex Salmond, said that we must all prepare ourselves for the likelihood of fatalities. He tweeted, "I can confirm that it is a police helicopter which has been involved in the tragic accident. Rescue efforts are in full operation. Given an incident of this scale, we must all prepare ourselves for the likelihood of fatalities." Now, story that I just told, even though it didn't happen here, it is still sad, and the reason why I mention it is because it's always sad when people die, no matter what the Democrats say. And every time I hear a story like this, I keep thinking of things like what happened when Andrew Breitbart died, how there were Democrats all over the nation in positions of power who had a microphone in their hand, were leering and chanting and screaming and yelling for the idea that now Breitbart was dead, everything was going to be hunky-dory, this was going to be great. I remember also when Ted Kennedy died, you didn't hear any of that from the right, although some of the things that Ted Kennedy did during his life warranted that kind of action, but you didn't hear that out of the right, and you didn't hear it out of the right because we don't think that way. We look at life as being something that was given to us by God, and that any death is tragic, no matter how it happens or no matter who it happens. The Democrats just seem to just get a thrill out of it. I don't understand that way of thinking, and I don't think I ever will understand that way of thinking. It bothers me, to say the least. It bothers me that we have people out there wishing horrible things on Rush Limbaugh because he does not speak for the president. I think it's horrible that we have people who some years ago threw rocks through the windows of my friend's house that I read for an article from from his blog, Political Pistachio. He has a wife who came from Mexico legally, or Peru, or I can't remember exactly where she came from, but she is a legal immigrant. And because of his conservative ideals, he had a couple of years ago people throwing rocks through his windows at his home. And it made him quit. He stopped. He stopped for a good little while. Him and I were one of the first people to really get a show going. And, you know, him and I and several others were some of the first people to get shows going here on Blog Talk Radio that are still here. Blog Talk Radio was just kind of in its infancy when we started. There wasn't that much going on at the time. There wasn't big name hosts, guests that you heard of at all, any time. That all has happened since I've been part of this, doing my show on Blog Talk Radio. And he has grown immensely. But he quit. He stopped all completely, totally, because he did not want his family put at risk because of somebody deciding that they knew where he lived, they were going to throw rocks through his window and hurt his family. It was his wife that put him back on the road, told him that he needed to continue because she knew what he was fighting for. Turned out, I think, that what we need to do on things like this is we need to turn a blind eye to, you know, the things they are doing, but we also need to try and stop them from doing it. We can't condone what they are doing. America is still the freest country on earth. And those of us who love America know that the Constitution is the reason for our liberties. ConservativeNationMedia.com isn't going to let those leftists in Washington, D.C. take our freedoms away. And our constitutional expert, Matthew Okoliski, is leading the charge. Join Matthew every Thursday night at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central, for the Liberty and Constitution Community to learn about our rights and freedoms under the greatest governing document of all time and what you can do to protect your liberty under the Bill of Rights. The Liberty and Constitution Community with Matthew Okoliski. Well, I haven't had this much trouble talking in years, I think. Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 9 Central on conservativenationmedia.com, where America always wins. A U.S. research institute said on Friday that it has detected a new construction at a North Korean missile launch site, which kind of goes back to the story I started the show with, where Iran and North Korea were working together. Commercial satellite imagery shows work has resumed after a months-long hiatus at Tonghae on the country's northeast coast on what looks like a rocket assembly building and a launch control center. The findings were provided to Associated Press ahead of publication by 38 North, the website of the U.S. Korea Institute at Johns Hopkins School for Advanced International Studies. It's the latest sign that North Korea is pressing ahead with its nuclear and missile programs despite declaring its willingness to resume aid for disarmament negotiations. Overhead photos have also indicated the North restarted a mothballed plutonium reactor in late August and is working to upgrade its other main missile launch site at Sohae, and that's S-O-H-A-E, and I don't know Korean, so I don't know the correct pronunciation, so I'm hoping I'm getting that close. But 38 North says a rocket test does not appear imminent at either launch site, assessing the intentions of North Korea's secretive regime and the nation's technical capabilities is notoriously difficult. The conclusions are based on analysis of imagery by Nick Hansen, a retired intelligence expert who closely monitors developments in the North's weapons programs. Sohae, which lies on the North Korea's west coast, has been used for its recent major launches, including the firing of a three-stage rocket into space last December. That launch was viewed by the U.S. as a worrying marker in the North's development of ballistic missile technology. In the meantime, Tonghae has been left idle. And what we have to remember here is the U.S. says it will only negotiate with Korea if it first takes concrete action, demonstrate its sincerity about the goal of disarmament. Well, that's what they're saying with Iran, crying out loud. And they don't care what we think. After all, Obama has made us the laughingstock of the world, and it's time we took that to heart and worked on getting this nation's greatness back. Don't you agree? We will be right back.
Aren't you glad the so-called fairness doctrine doesn't apply here?
Hi, I'm LeVar Burton, and I'm proud to be a book person. Every child deserves to have access to books because children who grow up with books invariably do better in life than children who do not. How do I choose a book? Is it the cover? Sometimes it's the cover, sometimes it's the title. I guess I'm pretty visual, so it's a combination of those two. The first book I remember was Captain's Courageous. When I finished that book, I had become so involved with these characters. So here's the thing. If a book's really, really impressing me and the writing is really, really good, I will peek and see what the last paragraph is. Because the endings of books, if it's really, really well done, that ending, that last thought should rock you. I am a book person, and if you're a book person too, read to a child and spark a lifetime of ambition. Join me at bookpeopleunite.org because reading is fundamental. A public service announcement brought to you by Reading is Fundamental, Library of Congress, and the Ad Council.
Driving has a rhythm all its own. Don't wreck it with a text. Before you get behind the wheel, silence your phone. Or better yet, designate a texter. For more text-free driving tips, visit stoptextstopwrecks.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration.
Hi, this is Dave Vance inviting you to join me every Monday night for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com. Even if you're not from the volunteer state, you'll want to know what's happening because one day it will affect you. Every week you'll hear interviews with experts, legislators, and citizens who are fed up and making a stand. So join us every Monday night at 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central Time for Inside Tennessee on conservativenationmedia.com.
Harkening back to Soviet-era tactics, Russian President Vladimir Putin is rewriting classroom history in the textbook to whitewash dark periods in the history of the USSR. Putin has hand-picked historians to rewrite the textbooks that will not mention his political opponents, who Putin has imprisoned, or the massive protests against him in 2011, 2012. Soviet textbooks regularly removed or downplayed the terror tactics Stalin used against his political opponents and ordinary citizens. An estimated 20 to 60 million people were killed under Joseph Stalin's brutal regime in gulags, torture chambers, prisons, and starvation. The new textbooks are expected to hit the schools in 2015. Now, it is hard to imagine that sort of thing happening here in America with the current crop of liberal politicians and all the weapons that they have in their arsenal against the American people. I think it isn't that far-fetched. After all, a rewriting of American history books has been taking place for decades or even longer by the liberal establishment. But the article that I quoted from above went on to show just how Putin is to do this. Vladimir Ryshkov, a historian and member of Putin's political opposition, took aim at the new books in the article and in the English-language daily newspaper, the Moscow Times. He accused the new book of being a tool to further the interests of Putin and his inner circle and said it omits parts of contemporary history that do not chime with Putin's version of events. Kind of sounds like what's going on here. Putin's spokesman, Dmitry Peskov, said the Kremlin was studying the guidelines but strongly denied accusations that they were trying to rewrite history to fit the current political agenda. One cannot rewrite history. On the contrary, we in Russia consistently stand against attempts to falsify the history, Peskov said. It is living proof that you can rewrite history. It's been done. If you get a hold of an American textbook that was written at the beginning of the 20th century, and then get a hold of one that actually talks about pretty much the same things now, and compare the two, they're different. History has been changed. I mean, you know, he is right in one thing. You cannot rewrite history. What happened, whether we continue to believe it or know it or not, it happened. It's just like truth will always be the truth. The liberal left has made a mockery of the truth by changing it to the point where a lot of Americans don't know what the truth is anymore. You see, folks, all the government has to do, all the government has to have is a network of trusted people to pull the right strings, pull something like this off. Obama has Hollywood, who puts out movies that always change history. Obama has the media, which always changes history or laws by quoting the ones that they think should be used and taking out the ones that they don't. Take the gun control issue. To them, it doesn't matter that the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed is guaranteed to us by the Constitution. All that matters to them is that the liberals is that the law-abiding citizens have their guns taken away so that they cannot defend themselves. And that is where this is going, folks. Yeah, that is, they say. They say so, they say that they're doing it so gun violence will go down. But the real reason is so we cannot defend ourselves against who? Maybe the government? I'm just saying here. The trouble is, folks, if they continue to get away with this chicanery in Washington, people like me and you who believe in the Constitution will eventually disappear because we are a threat to the power that they so crave. We want to hold on to our guns. We want to be able to keep our weapons. We remember what George Washington said about a free society must be armed to protect itself against tyranny, an enemy, or even their own government. And yes, George Washington said that. Jefferson said something on those lines too. We have to remember, folks, that whatever the government is telling us, if we look at everything they're doing in the process of telling us one thing, we will see why they're doing it in the things that they're doing in other avenues. And it really bugs me because I study this whole thing. I watch. And I have a phone call from the area code 319. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
You there? How are
yes,
you today?
Yes, I am. I'm doing pretty fair. You know, I think we've got an end game to all these problems, and we have to invoke our authority as citizens and as states under Article 5 to make amendments to the Constitution that are going to further restrict any federal government activity, whether it be in Congress or the executive branch or the judicial branch. We can make this happen without any of their approval and without even the approval of the governors.
Yeah, and I agree with you. But, you know, our problem comes in when it comes to the American people, though, because we are so short-minded, so short-memoried that we don't remember how good we have it when things start going bad or when the opposite side starts telling us how bad things really are. When they started telling us how bad things really are in the United States during the last part of Bush's presidency, things weren't really that bad yet. But they kept telling us until everybody believed it and had to get him out of office. And I think that's where the main problem comes in the United States, is that we're so short-sighted in the things that we are doing that we forget how good we actually have it.
Oh, I agree. I agree. But I think with Congress having a approval rating of 9% and the president is in the mid-30% for approval, I think now is the time that we need to be taking action and getting people involved. It doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be, a partisan event. This should be an American event where we empower our states again to take the authority that they had when they actually ratified the Constitution.
Yeah, I totally agree with you there, but, you know, and there's where we're going to run into the problems with this whole thing, because we'll start this process, and I think it's been kind of ongoing in the last couple of elections. Even though Barack Obama won in the last elections, a whole lot of Democrats lost. And they don't bring that point up, so it's kind of like lost in the wilderness somewhere. So the American people don't really think that we did as well as we did. And we have to try and get that out so that the people know that we did do good and we're heading the right direction, even though our politicians and the media and Hollywood are all telling us the opposite story.
Well, you know, it's not as big of an obstacle that we might think. During the Revolution, only 13% of the population was actually involved in that action. 13%. So
yeah.
We don't need a huge majority, but we've got to have strong-willed people that are willing to go out there and set those brush fires of liberty in the minds of others. And that's the purpose that we've got to make.
I totally agree with you there. It's something that we have to do. And I think the problem we have today has a lot to do with the fact that almost all of our news is instantaneous. And whether we want to believe what's being told to us or not, we get hit with lies so many times that they are starting to become perceived as the truth. And I think that's where shows like this one or like Conservative Nation Media doing a show every night could get that point across to a lot of people, but it needs to get across to more people. We do have to do what you said. We have to do everything we can to take the power that the government has amassed and take it away from them, because it's not theirs to have.
Well, I sent out a petition to do a test run. And I'll see how that goes. I've set up a website. It's iowa85.com. And the whole intent is that we have to get our states on board. And to do that, we've got to get petition drives. We've got to get people out there talking about it, calling the state legislators and saying, look, you know what? Our freedom is being denied, and we look to you to to resolve this problem. And by doing so, you also gain the ability to take back control of state authority in federal government.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I'm gonna check that out. I don't have a pen right here to write that down with, but I do listen to my show afterwards so I can find out, and I'll get it then, and I'll go and check that place out. And that's a good idea. I'm coming up on a hard break here, so I'm gonna have to put you on hold. But I've got to go and pay some bills here. So,
yep,
thanks for calling.
Whether you're on active duty, a veteran, or just admire American Armed Forces, there's no better place to get the widest variety of militaria than at Highlands Militaria. Highlands Militaria is one of America's premier distributors of Fox tactical gear and outdoor products. Veteran-owned and operated, Highlands Militaria offers new and used uniforms and insignia from World War II, Korea, Vietnam, and today, with an emphasis on airborne and special operations insignia, gear, collectibles, and uniforms. If you need to replace a cherished badge or unit patch, or just want to gear up for your next outdoor adventure, go to Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria, where you'll find the best supply of the military gear you need. Shipping is always free with one-day handling time, and your satisfaction is guaranteed. Highlands Militaria at stores.ebay.com/Highlands-Militaria. And thank you for your service.
Happy holidays, everybody. This is Brad Paisley for RAD, recording artists, actors, and athletes against drunk driving. When you're traveling during the holidays and see somebody who's had too much to drink about to get behind the wheel, well, get those keys and save a life. When you celebrate, designate. Choose a designated driver.
A public service message brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation, RAD, the National Association of Broadcasters, and the Ad Council.
Dr. Martin Luther King said, "Injustice anywhere is a threat to justice everywhere, and the worst injustice imaginable is the wrongful conviction of an innocent person." I'm Sam Thurman, host of A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 p.m. Eastern, 7 Central, on conservativenationmedia.com. We take a look at what happens when innocent people go to jail as a result of bad evidence, wrongful prosecution, and dishonest witnesses. We use real cases of actual Americans who've been wrongfully convicted. A Just Cause Coast to Coast, Tuesdays 8 Eastern, 7 Central, conservativenationmedia.com.
I never thought I'd get to be a million. I never thought I'd get to be the thing that all is over to.
Okay, I'm back with a person on the 319 area code. You still there?
Yes, I am. Richard Gates is my name.
Pardon?
Richard Gates?
I didn't.
That's my name?
Richard Gates. Oh, okay. Well, good to have you listening to our show. That's it's always good to have some of the new listeners, especially since I've been doing this for so long now, and I'm still working on gaining my listenership. But you really actually have some good ideas there. You're in Ohio?
I'm in Iowa.
Iowa, okay. I get those two mixed up constantly, and I don't know why. I live in Indiana. You know, I've got one on each side of me, pretty much. So you want to give your website again?
Yeah, it is iowaa5.com.
Okay,
go ahead.
Oh, go ahead. I just put typed that into the chat room. It didn't show up as a link, but at least it's there.
Yeah, We've got a good thing going. I'm already getting some real positive response from around the entire state. And the fact is that we've got to focus our attention on state elections and making sure that we're supporting those people that would run for state office that are going to stand up and just take a stand against the federal government. I can tell you in eastern Iowa along the Mississippi River that the EPA is just devastating small towns with their regulations. So there's a lot of things that we can do to rein in this out-of-control government. But it all hinges on the states reclaiming their authority in federal government.
I actually think that's a pretty good idea. It'd be something that would be good to spread out from your state into other states and do the same thing. And see,
there's a national movement as well.
Okay.
Yeah, Citizens for Limited Government have the Convention of States project that's going on, and they're organizing in every state. I think it was Indiana. The president of the Indiana legislature called for a meeting in Roanoke, Virginia, December 7th. So far, 24 states have signed up and will be attending that informal meeting to discuss this very topic. Virginia has already pre-filed documents to the Congress to propose amendments to the Constitution. So this is well underway, and it's well back. My angle, so to say, is that the Tea Party effort has always been successful as a loose knit network with no national backing or anything. And so while we've got the national movement, I think it's also incumbent on us to get the grassroots people involved at every level.
That's always a good thing, getting the grassroots people involved. I've always thought that was the way to go anyway. Because it's pretty much the grassroots people who hold this country together. Of course, we have all these politicians in Washington who think it's them, but it's not.
No, we've been a nation based on self-governance. And right now is the time that we need to stand up and govern.
I totally agree. And I think the time is coming, but it may be too slow for some people, but I think it's coming. I really do. We've got a lot of people who are just totally disgruntled with the way this country's going, and they're looking for ways to change it, which is a good thing. I'm 60 years old, so I've been able to watch a lot of this, and some of it's just totally disconcerting at how far it's actually gone the wrong direction.
Oh, I agree. I ain't far behind you. I'm 55, so. But I think this is an achievable goal that will have measured results that we can take a stand on. And it doesn't matter what party.
Yeah, maybe you can get a hold of Duke Brooks, who is president of Conservative Nation Media, and maybe you could set up an ad with them to run on our network or something, and that might help get some of the word out.
Yeah, that would be great. Absolutely. I want to get the word out any way I can, because this is just too important to just sit by and watch it go by.
Yeah, well, I know if you're in the chat room, he's in there, and his handle in there is Radio Free America. He's our dear leader, and he knows what he's doing, that's for sure. I have a lot. I've been hearing a lot of things like this lately,
I've got friends in Texas who have been running blogs for years. One of them helped me in a lot of ways in figuring out how to handle a liberal when they come after me. When I first started my blog, which is Wise Conservatism, I kind of named my show after that, but when I first started having liberals go after, I had no way to comprehend what they were saying, why they were saying it, and how they could hate America so much, and it flummoxed me to the point where I couldn't say anything. And she taught me how to handle them which is a good thing. And she's one of these black conservative ladies, and she has helped me immensely in being able to handle people who don't love America. Because that was something that just drove me nuts when I first started, and I couldn't understand why somebody could live in a country that could give them such opportunities and hate it so much.
You know what? And I have to agree. I know a few people that are black conservatives, and I have to tell you, they are the most trustful people you will ever meet in your life.
Okay, is there any way that you could email your contact information to Conservative Nation Media or to me?
Sure. Just give me an address to send it to.
Okay. My address is Robert@conservativenationmedia.com, and our president's email is Duke@conservativenationmedia.com, and you send him your information, and that he could lead you in the direction that official to both of us, I think. And I've got another break here that I need to go to, so I will talk to you shortly.
Okay.
ConservativeNationMedia.com is growing, and we couldn't think of a better way to expand our lineup than to give our very own Bing Fisher his very own show. Uncle Bing Fisher brings his engineer's insight and love of America to American by Design. Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central, immediately following Soldier of Patriotism with Michael Smith on Soldiers on ConservativeNationMedia.com. And right now, Michael Smith and Soldier of Patriotism is on hiatus until after the first of the year, so that one don't follow it anymore. So American by Design is the only one on Sundays right at the moment. So stay with Conservative Nation Media 7 days a week, since we're making some big changes and we're just getting started. American by Design with Bing Fisher, Sundays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 5 Central on ConservativeNationMedia.com, where America always wins. And I think that right now I'm almost to my next break, so I'll go ahead and take it right at the moment and then get back to my...
If you love America, you're among friends here.
What does it take to be the leader in production systems technology? To be the one company that solves production problems at any plant, for any product, and with any technology? It takes a 30-year record of success. It takes total mastery of complex technologies with a history of delivering success every time, without fail. Only one company can claim that high ground in manufacturing line optimization, data automation, and systems integration, and that's Philadelphia Control Systems. In factories worldwide, Philadelphia Control Systems programs, software, and engineering solutions deliver optimal performance and output flow with a record that can't be matched. Any plant, any product, any technology. Philadelphia Control Systems, the leader in production automation since 1982. 800-335-9811. PCSforAutomation.com. That's PCS, the number 4, automation.com.
Adopting a new pet is a rewarding experience. and Shelter Pets makes Super Pets. Your new best friend will steal your heart, bring you happiness, and enrich your life for years to come. You can make a difference in the life of an animal. Adopt and bring home a Shelter Pet today. To find out more, visit theshelterpetproject.org. This message has been brought to you by the Humane Society of the United States, Maddie's Fund, and the Ad Council.
Hello, I'm Jennifer Meadows, your host on Grit and Grace. Please join us every Tuesday night from 10 to 12 Eastern for an honest look at the top political and cultural issues that are affecting Americans today. That's Grit and Grace for conservative analysis that is smart and entertaining. Tuesdays, 9 to 11 p.m. Central, 10 to 12 Eastern on conservativenationmedia.com.
Well, we have a few more minutes here that we can play with if you're still on the line.
Yes.
I hope you got those email addresses, and I know that you get those out to you, out to Duke, and he will take care of you. He's real knowledgeable on everything he needs to do, so and he runs this operation pretty well. We are coming up on the end of the show. I'm glad you called in, and I will check out that site when I get off the air here and see what I can see there. Maybe we can get that going here in Indiana too.
Yeah, that'd be
about. Pardon?
Yeah, we can do it. We can do a lot with this. We can get term limits. We can get that. All the things that we've heard talked about for decades. A balanced budget. Getting the administrative agencies under control where they have to be approved every 3 years and. And if they go over, if any other regulations exceed a certain monetary amount, that it has to go before Congress to get approved. I mean, there's so many things that we can get done with this.
Yes, I totally agree. And the more we can get going on it, the more of a chance we've got to be successful at what we're trying to do.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that is save this country from the idiots that we have mistakenly elected to office.
And that's why, that's why Article 5 was put in the Constitution the way it was, is in case that we had an oppressive federal government. The states had a way to rebut that and to take back the country and reinstate the republic that we were promised.
Yep, I totally agree. But I'm glad you called in. You gave us some really good information, and hopefully we'll be able to have you on the show again sometime.
Okay.
And I'm really happy that you called it. This kind of covered some areas that I had thought about for a while, but just really haven't done because I've been completely inundated with other stuff that has been coming out of Washington. And doing this show, I read the news a lot, so I just sometimes it's so much that my mind just goes blank and I have to sit back and sit in a dark room for a while and see if I can get myself my thoughts back together. But
yeah, I understand that. I just think this brings about an opportunity for us to solve a lot of these problems without having to deal with them individually. We can take this country back, and we don't have to fight every single battle if we can get around it. And you know, the founders believed that the Constitution would be changed that would bind the federal government to limited powers. And I think through the amendment process under Article 5, I think we can get that accomplished without having to sit and fight every single little skirmish along the way.
Well, you know, and I think that's the way the Constitution was set up in the first place to be changed, like, instead of by executive order like our current president has done. It's, to me, this is a real scary time. You know, I look at my children and think this is a real scary time for them, and they don't even realize it.
Oh, absolutely.
Hopefully,
absolutely.
Hopefully with me talking to them and telling them the right things instead of letting, you know, because their school, they've got a good school, but their school is a public school nonetheless, and they'll try and get away with things that I don't agree with, and I'm constantly correcting what they come home with. But I'm really glad you called. I'm running out of time here, so I'm going to have to let you go, but I'm glad you called and hope that you continue to listen and call back again sometime.
I absolutely will, and I'll get some emails off to you and Duke.
Okay, well, thank you. And I'm sure
all right.
Okay. Have a good day. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving.
Yeah, you too.
Bye. Thanksgiving just passed, and with that holiday, we Americans can really see just what it is that we can all be thankful for. And hopefully we can also see just what it is the Democrats and the leftist Republicans are doing to get rid of those reasons to be thankful. America is under attack, folks, and next week's show will be on the 72nd anniversary of the beginning of World War II for us with the attack on our naval base at Pearl Harbor, and you remember that from history, don't you, folks? I think I'm going to do everything I can to get myself a really good show for that one going, because there's been several years now where if you listen to the regular media or the regular radio stations that are not conservatively bent, you don't hear much about Pearl Harbor anymore. It was the one thing that took us into World War II, and in that, we lost fewer people that day than we lost on 9/11. And we all know what happened there. We're still in the throes of that one, but we in America still have a country that we can be proud of. And what we have to remember right now is that it seems like ever since that time and probably before that, America has been under constant attack by the forces of what I have come to call evil. And evil, to me, stands for evolving vitriol of the irrational liberals. And their vitriol has always been directed at two factions. One, the American people for having the audacity to want to live free and good lives with the freedom to do what they want and to make that with take that with the freedom to own guns and go hunting and things like that. And the other part of that is our Constitution. And you know the document that was drawn up by the Founding Fathers to give us those rights and guarantees to them. Right now we have a nation that is floundering under the weight of a huge liberal machine that heads itself in Washington, D.C., with its leader residing in the People's House at 1600 Pennsylvania. And for those in Liberalville, that is the White House. And yes, it's the People's House built with our money, and I think it is time we came and took that back, took the title of that one back. But we are I just have to say, look, well, Washington has been a liberal bastion for years now, and it seems to be getting worse by totally going totally against the wishes of the people. Again, for you in Liberalville, that is the ones who are really the bosses, not the idiots in Washington on Capitol Hill, but we, the people. And, you know, and if you think about this, have you ever wondered why the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence were written the way they were? Have you ever wondered why the first three words of the Declaration of Independence were written so much bigger than the rest of them? Do you even know what those three words are anymore? I know that question is not directed at the people that listen to this show for the most part. I know I've got some liberals who come in here every once in a while and try to cause me troubles and things like that. They are the ones who might not know. The conservative friends know that the first three words, we the people, was written that way, just started off right, showing that it was us, the people, who were the important parts of this country, not the government. And in those times, the government was not a grand lucrative career like it is turned into. Everyone nowadays that becomes a senator or a congressman or president becomes rich and wealthy beyond most of our comprehension, money that continues to flow in long after the office is vacated by these people. The original senators and congressmen did not reside in Washington, D.C. They did not travel on the backs of the American people like the ones here, the ones do today. They lived in their homes in other states. They toiled on their farms or doing whatever jobs they had to make a living for themselves and their families, only going to Washington, D.C. when the moment came that they were needed there, and they did it on their own dime. Stayed until the crisis was over and fixed, and then they went back home again to their own lives, to go back to their own jobs on their own dime. And the money that they got for doing this was just a matter of just a pittance of money to make it helpful for them to do it. And now we have people like Harry Reid and especially Nancy Queen Bee Pelosi. And if they had to work under those circumstances, they would be appalled. After all, in Nancy Pelosi's words, she worked too hard to gain her station in life to get Congress, and to get to Congress and not be totally taken care of. That would be beneath her station in life. There is where this country is going wrong, and we need to change that. Thank you for our phone call. Thank you for everyone who came in and joined the show today. we hope that this week is a good week for everyone. Hope everyone had a great Thanksgiving. God bless you all, and have a good day.
It was lovely to see you again, and until next week.
Thank you.
you, everyone.